This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
It's the only thing you can eat morning, noon, and night. Okay, so let's see what Shofar Pretoria really loves. If you said pizza, hand up. If you said burgers, hands up. It's pizza. let me just pray and then I'll get going. Lord, I just want to thank you for this morning, and I really want to thank you for every person that's here. And I want to thank you, Lord, that not only do we have you, we also have one another. We are not alone. What a privilege. How blessed, Lord, are we that we can sing together with such wonderful people that practiced and rehearsed to have us come and sing along. How blessed are we, Lord, that someone took the effort to rent this building and create an opportunity for us to come together and see one another and hear your word and give our lives to obey it the best we can. We are so privileged. And we just want to thank you for that. Amen. I just want to see as a... As an introduction, do you want me to shift to this thing? I'll just put it on again. Testing 1, 2. Yes. We are hands-free. Let's do it. Anyone, can you hear me at the back? 1, 2, testing. Well, Sam, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. If I don't get through it, then that's okay. I just want to say I really love the family of God. I really do. And when I came off the island, everyone know now what happened. Just as an indication, who watched Survivor? I just want to see if, I'm not going to talk about Survivor, but I just need an indication. Just show me again. I watched. Okay, cool. Don't worry if you did not watch. This is not about Survivor. It's about Jesus. Like the one guy in our church always say, yeah, you can come to our church. That's where Vanna is, but there's someone cooler, and his name is Jesus. So when I came off the island, I was sitting down with the producers and people from Mnet. And they asked me, are you a Survivor player or are you a TV personality? And I did not know what to say. And so I went back home and I prayed, and God said, you're a church builder. And my wife said, yes, but you have a voice for the church, which means you must speak beyond. And so I'm not firstly a Survivor player or someone that runs around on TV. I'm a church builder. I love the church, and I love to speak for her, especially beyond the boundaries of church. Is this thing working? Should I take the wireless mic? Who says wireless mic? Okay. Testing 1, 2. Are we okay? Testing 1, 2. I hear myself. Okay, so let's do it. Let me share one or two things about community, which I love, before I get into this. Listen. I'm not a celeb or something, please. It's not what I'm trying to say. Little kids love to hug me and ask for photos and stuff. But what I realized is the more mature a Christian community becomes, the more real the relationships in this place grows towards one another and towards Christ, the less the church needs to be entertained by celebs. The less famous preachers has to come and make a show, and the more the people or the community are concerned with who is speaking through the person that's talking. And my heart for this community, and if you're visiting also for where you're going, is that the voice of Jesus would be the most important influencer in your life and not whoever can get to the pulpit. Does that make sense? It's just my heart. And I also discovered after Survivor, you know, a lot of stuff going on. It's just crazy. I don't even know who I spoke to because some of the phone calls, especially at MNET, came so close. I was on live radio. I did not know it even. But what I realized going back to community is the meal in my living room with my friends in Secunda is worth more and more real than speaking to people that you don't know. And so watch out what you desire. Watch out why you do what you do, why you work so hard. If it is to come to a place of being recognized in public, it's not worth it. You can stop that venture. You can live from purpose with real community around your table. It is worth a lot more. Does that make sense? Just something for you guys. I've got a few photos up there. That's my family, my wife, my son Caleb, he's 4 years old, and a little daughter Talita, she's 10 months. And then I've just got some survivor pics to get us in island mode. That is me sitting with Katinka, solving the problems of the world. That's an immunity challenge. Give something to those with a survivor appetite. So there's weird stuff we do on the island, and there's weird stuff we eat, stuff that would get you into trouble if you serve it at a restaurant. So we'll have like different variations of fish on rice. The beautiful thing about Nemo, the fish, is Nemo, if you're like me, I've never, spear gun before, survivor. But the thing about Nemo is Nemo will not move away from its nest, okay? So when I point the spear like that, Nemo, sizes me up like that. But luckily for Nemo, it's quite small. So I left him, except once I had to put the spear through his mouth. So sorry for all the Nemo lovers, but Nemo went on rice, and it was incredible. At one stage, we won spices, and then we went through a time of eating sweet rice, just sugar on rice, just to get something. And when the sugar was done, we had ginger rice, and then we had Nemo with ginger rice. But we made it at the end. We had our own language. So when, this thing is not working. Let's get on this mic. Testing 1, 2. Awesome. We had our own language. You live with these people. They become your family. We really do not get any food. And we talk about food the whole time. Like, the whole time. At once, there was a cameraman or a producer that came to me and said, "You cannot talk about muchachos anymore." That's what it told me. Because later on, Steers would be revealed as this massive sponsor. And I was just like, "Muchachos, I want muchachos." And they said, "We cannot use it. You have to stop." And so we did. I came back from the island. I'm a cook now. I can cook stuff. You can ask my wife. I've got a passion to make food because we spoke so much about it, We had our own language. When there was food, someone would say, "In my kop in," which is where you'd put the food. When you wanted to get dressed and you went behind the shelter and you took your clothes and you just said, "Bad moon rising," and then you'd go to the back and as it went on and we got more dirty and stuff, someone would go, I remember Jean going to get dressed behind the shelter. She went around, she said, "Nightmare on Elm Street," and she went to the back. And so we had our own language. And what I also wanted to say, I'm going to get to the word now, is is that it is, the heartbreak is real. The heartbreak, that survivor, the blows, it's a game, but it's so real. I remember the day after when I got off, I was on there for 37 days. Sorry for the spoilers. 2 days short, and I went off, and the next day I cried. I literally sobbed from my stomach, you know, just transitioning out of a game, you know, back into real life. Also realizing that I've been a part of hurting other people and just coming to terms with the game and how painful it is. But it becomes your reality after a while, which is a great analogy for us because let's remember that this life is not all there is. Amen. Let's not snuggle into this world in such a way as if it is all there is. That there will not be sorrow once we go to where we will be forever. Amen. Awesome. Let's get to the word. I want to move between the island and I'm reflecting on a lot of stuff I've learned. I've got a countdown timer here. It says 4 minutes left. So let me see how far I get. Not really. But if I don't finish, I'd rather go slowly and say properly what I meant to say than trying to rush through it. Colossians 4 verse 3, if you want to read with me. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison. This is Paul writing from prison. Okay, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. This man is sitting in prison. We're going to get to the island in a second. And he's asking, he's praying for an open door. But it's very interesting that the door that he prays for to open is not the prison doors, which is incredible to think about. He's sitting in prison and he's praying for another door to open, and that is a door for the word to go out. And then he says something incredible. He says, pray also for us, for the open door of the word, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. Is it possible that we talk in a way about Jesus in such a way that it bears no fruit? Is it possible that the way we engage with people, the tone of our voice or the position of our heart is directed in such a way that even though we say the right words, that it does not produce fruit? This man wrote Romans, the greatest academic exposition of the gospel and what it is in the history of the world. And so he does not pray and say, help me to remember the gospel. He says, help me, pray for me that I might know how I ought to speak. Make sense? So, we're on the island, night 2, night 3, and it does not take long before religious conversations arise. Now, you guys know that I told them I'm a Christian, but I did not tell them I'm a pastor, all right? I left that for later. And so, what is the first debate? Always one of two. Creation versus evolution. Here we go. Count on that one to come up. And the other one is marriage, divorce, same-sex marriage. Okay. I can put money on that. It will come up. And now the debate is heating up. And the fiercer the debate goes, the more I go into the bushes. Because I'm tempted to step in, Pastor Werner, and say, okay, let's talk. But I'm not. I'm just hiding. I'm camouflaging. And so the one girl, she stands around the fire and she makes a comment. And another person claiming to be a Christian talks to this girl and says, but I don't expect you to understand because you are not saved. And it broke her heart. I saw it from the bushes. And so what I did is rescue repairs, okay? So I waited for my chance. I would go and sit next to her and I said, I heard the conversation, and when that was said, I think it hurt you. But before you say anything, let me just say, I am also a Christian. But I don't agree with that. Tears on the island, always. Okay. And this person says to me, she says, Werner, I actually don't have a problem with Jesus or Christians like you, but I hate the church. Broke my heart. I'm not only in a church, okay? I belong to the church. I mean, I am a pastor. But now her perception of the church is that the church speaks in this way. You are not saved. And you do not understand. Is it possible for us, individually and as a church, that we speak in a way that causes outsiders to turn away? Do we know who we are speaking to, and do we know their hurts? And on the island, everything is clearer because there's no phone to distract, no music, there's nothing. We're going to get to that. So you see, you perceive. And so the first point I want to make, this is my reflections from the island, is what a contradiction. Number one, we have 3 points today, okay? If we get to it. What a contradiction if we speak the words of the gospel without the heart of Jesus. We cannot divorce it. And that's why if you are a believer, or you're a young believer, or you coming closer to the faith, maybe you've got questions, let me tell you something up front. The most important part of your relationship with God is your devotional times where you worship Him, because you cannot divorce your heart from that. We need to be engaged in our heart so that when we speak, we don't speak words, we speak with words and heart. Amen? Let's go on. I'm picking up speed. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I don't have time today to... I'm going topical, so I'm going to move through scriptures. If you are visiting here and you want to come back, every sermon won't be like this. Maybe they'll stand still on a larger portion of scripture for a longer time, but just allow me to move today. Is that okay? I think what Jesus is trying to say, at least one of the things, is for a rich person, most of us here that has something over our head, money to buy food and a vehicle to drive in, we are rich. Let's be honest about it. It is so easy to have many noises in our lives that it becomes hard for us to hear the cry of our spirit. I feel down, let's get a pizza. I feel down, let's go out. I feel down, let me go and buy some shoes. You know, we have so many ways to silence the true sound of a spirit. Each of us, I think here, probably at least 90% within reach, WAP, phone. Feel alone? Facebook. Want to say something? Facebook. Want to chat to someone at home? Now your spirit is talking. I want you to pray or think about something. Boom, YouTube on. We've got so many noises in our lives. Let's go on. I'm going somewhere with this. To the next slide. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Who's the one who makes the darkness tremble? What a beautiful song. It is Him. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Important. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we experience a time of darkness or an ache in the heart or something that's not right, we always have two decisions. Everyone in this room. The one is we run to God. We say, or we pray to God, or even get a friend in church that's a believer, and we say, there's something in me that I need to share with you because it's bothering me. That's what it means to come into the light. Will you pray for me? I've got serious issues at home with my finances or with my wife. Will you help me? What happens then is darkness trembles, light comes in, and there's healing. The temptation is to do something that is a lot easier. When the Spirit speaks, put up another song and put it louder. Or put on a mask. I'm doing really bad, but for example, physically, I'm going to put this makeup on, I'm going to put this dress on, and there you go, a mask on. For guys, the stuff we own, the stuff we can buy, we as the people we associate with, we put a mask on every area of vulnerability and we walk around with a face like this. But what happens on the island when you go is that the masks comes down. You don't have that credit card. You don't have that car. You don't have that phone. You cannot phone for encouragement. It is only you that's there. I want to talk about what happens when the mask comes off like that. But let me just say, we are masters at self-deception. Isn't that true? The person we fool is the person in the mirror. Listen to this. Church in America does a study on people that gets divorced, remarried. Divorced, remarried. I'm not talking about this in a light fashion. This is heartbreak. If you've been through that, my heart yearns and a lot of love is there to be found in healing, all right? What they found is often when people divorce, remarry, is that there is a narrative that comes from that person. In my first marriage, my husband did this. It was his fault, and they took no ownership. After the third time they would tell that story, studies shows, they will believe the narrative they created. And once you take no ownership, you cannot grow and become a better wife or husband. So what do? Put the mask on. It was his fault. There's an incredible, there was this week on VH1, the music channel, and they followed the lives of very successful rock stars. And they had the documentaries, they were children, they grew up, the money started to come in, all the money, all the women, all men, all the power. And most of them, on that week where they followed the lives of these people, it would end like this. How, if you have everything, and you can buy everything, and you are able to make, as far as a human are concerned, the amazing decision, how do it end here? We don't know where we are going. Because we are self-deceived. If we don't get our masks off in a smaller or larger way, we are following the same route where we will end up with, I did not know I would get here. But now, if we go to the island, let's go back there. The island is a mask stripper. Okay, it takes it off. But you don't need the island. You just need loving community, accountability, and you can take your mask off. Two people come to me and they said, listen, I've never told anyone this, but I struggle with anxiety so much that I shake at night. Will you pray for me? I haven't shared it with other people because suddenly Facebook cannot help, the music cannot help. I have to talk about this thing in my heart. One of the players says, listen, my mom needs a job And everyone's going on. And I realized when she said that, this is an area of hurt. And we were praying the day for our hand of rice. And they said, Vadish, will you pray? It's my turn. I said, yes, I will pray. I said, Lord, I want to thank you for the fact that we have rice to eat. Some tribes didn't have rice. And or Nemo's. And I pray for so-and-so's mom. Simple prayer. My boy can pray it. I pray that you will help her mom to get a job. Open my eyes. Tears. Like this. What a simple gesture. But when the noises are down, when the masks are off, the Spirit moves clearly in like this. How do we facilitate that? How do we get there without being marooned on an island in this congregation? Here's something to think about. When we're stripped of the things that can be taken away, we tend to yearn for something that cannot be taken away. It is when the momentary things drop that we yearn for that which is eternal. So here's something I would like to say to myself, to every leader, every member, every pastor. When sharing your faith, unmasking often starts with a believer or with the pastor. If the pastor has his masks, we've got trouble. He must start. The leaders. Listen with inappropriate conversations. It's a culture. It's a hard thing. What I've realized is it's more beneficial for my congregation if I tell them that my wife and I had a big fight the week than trying to hide it. Because the moment I say it, they drop theirs. And we can have community. Let's drop our masks. We don't have to go to an island. Does that make sense? And so I just want to say this because I think there's some visitors here today, and this is from our heart. If you've ever been hurt by a church or a pastor or a believer that wore a mask while trying to force you to take yours off, I want to say sorry for that. That's not the heart of Christ. Amen. But let us grow together. Amen. Let's go on. Last point. Every now and then I've got the very academic words on a screen like you'll see now. 1, 2, 3. No, does not happen. Slide number 10, please. Great. So these are missionary terms. Just give me a minute to show you why it's up there. Identificationalism versus extractionism. Okay, hold on. It's not as difficult. It's just to make me look smart for a moment. In the old times, or a few years back, Roman Catholic missionaries would move out to evangelize the world, Africa, Asia. And their approach was, let's build buildings like where we come from, we feel comfortable in. We open an English school, we have the community come in, and then we will teach them English and the gospel. And a lot of those hearts of a missionary, it was really wonderful and pure. But what they would say is they would come from a position of pride where they would believe is we are actually better than these people. So we will have them in our house and we'll serve them our food and we'll teach them our language. We will extract them out of their homes into ours. And what they would find is if the missionary died, because sometimes they'll pick up diseases in places they're not used to, when the missionary dies, the church dies with it. Because it was built on the missionary's tools. And what they discovered moving on is what is a lot better, even though it is slower, is if the missionary would go and identify with the person in the field in their home. Go into their home. Eat their food. Maybe get a few words in their language. Use objects in their home to get analogies for the gospel, because when they have someone else over, they can share it in their own language with their own tools. And if a missionary goes on, the gospel kept on spreading. Extractionalism versus identificationalism. Obviously, to identify is the better one. Why am I saying this? Someone would come to me on Survivor because we are sitting there so long, we are forced to dwell with one another. You cannot swim off and, I don't know, save yourself. Everyone for himself, let's go. That people would share stuff with me that is truly deep and truly real and vulnerable because we've been dwelling together there for such a long time. And these are people normally in my life I would not even run into. But here's our problem, and if we can make the shift, we will do extremely well. Are we dwelling with people as we live our lives, or are we extracting them? I've got a question. When you connect with that person at work, do you create to facilitate a situation to go and visit him in his home, or do you only invite him to church? Do you offer to meet him for lunch before he comes to church to spend time with him and maybe slow cook this thing, or can you only ask of him to come to small group? You see, that's only extraction. Which helps for new people in town, people that want a church, it will work for them. But if there's a lot of people in the world that are saying, I don't mind Jesus, but I hate the church, then we can no longer extract people. The jump is too far. It's too far. We will have to learn to dwell and sit with people long enough that the mask comes off and the heart open up. It will require missional living. You see, we can't do it, and I said this in Secunda as well. We can't have them for the whole Saturday because we're not here even. We're chasing another weekend away. The transition we have to make is from extracting to living missional lives. Taking your calendar and saying, we're not going away, we're not going away, we're not going away. We are staying to dwell. Hearts open up. We're following America. The last people in America are parents now that grew up in homes where the parents went to church. Now it's your decision. We are following the generation that took their children to church. We're diminishing very fast. Church is no longer what you do on Sundays. We have to move. Does that make sense? The Word became flesh. Jesus came down and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. He had His dwelling with the angels, and He came, walked with them, ate with them, prayed with them, showed them, had patience with them. He dwelled. And we need to find ways to translate our lives. I'm not saying quit your job and sit somewhere the whole day. No, no, no. I'm just saying we need to think about this. Number three, may we learn to identify and dwell with those who are hurting and not only extract them. That's pride. Amen. I'm going to tell you a story and then I'm wrapping up. Who knows this picture? The Secunda people will know it. Who knows this girl? The readers. Where's the readers? This woman, her name is Kitty Genovese. Rings a bell? The Kew Gardens incident. 1964, this woman, we can go to the next slide, yes. comes home from work, and that man, Winston Moseley, waits for her. It's a dark alley. She needs to get into the door, one of those apartments where you go up the stairs and you find your room. This man attacks her, assaults her, and stabs her with a knife. What she does is she screams, "He's stabbing me, he's stabbing me, help, he's stabbing me." And at that moment, the lights of the people in the apartments, the lights go on and they open the windows, they look out. And as the lights go on, the attacker, he moves away a few hundred meters and waits in the dark. Many people looked, many lights went on. Here's the thing, no one came down. The man came back and murdered her. Still today, it's called the Genovese syndrome, the bystander effect in psychology. But if we can go back to that next scripture, John 1:14. When he heard our cries, he came down. Not at the risk of his life, but he would definitely die. He came down for us. And every shortcoming we have, if we show those 3 points again, just look at it for a second. In the world, it's not only important that we speak, but how we speak. Not only did Jesus have nice words for his friends, but he cried and embraced them. Let us shape our lives after him. And know his righteousness become ours. So don't condemn yourself. Look to him. His words towards those who are hurting, the Father imputes to you if you are in him. That's where you start. Number two, when sharing your faith, unmasking often starts with a believer. It's so hard to unmask, but he came not only unmasked, naked on a cross, beaten for us. His act of unmasking becomes ours when we are in him, and the Father, he's pleased with us. The third one, let us follow his example of coming, getting in the alley where the cries are. Help. Let us not put up only the windows. Come to church, but get down in the dark alley. If you're struggling with that, rest assured that the work of Christ becomes yours when the Father looks at you. And now from that place, knowing that his righteousness is yours, you live to follow him the best you can. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray this morning. Awesome. Great. Can let's sit like this morning. Take a breath. I'll ask you to stand up in a second. Father, I want to thank you that when you heard our cries, you came down. Jesus, you had your dwelling, a place of safety. And you unmasked and exposed yourself for us. What a wonderful God we serve. What can a community, what can we be if we shape our heart after that? Where can we go? What will our communication be to people that's not here today that we love and pray for? Help us to speak with the love and grace of Christ. Unto God first. We worship you, Lord. And then to our fellow man. Come taste what we have. Help us to unmask. And help us to lay our lives down. That Friday afternoon, that Saturday, to dwell with people. We worship you, Lord. we worship you. And I want to thank you, Father, that you say in the word that we do not have to fight and build our own righteousness, but that we can say, Jesus, your every work and every word becomes ours in Christ. So that, Father, when you look at us, you say, I am well pleased with everyone who came to my Son for saving. And then, Lord, from that place we grow and we lay down every distraction, every sin. We give ourselves anew to you, Lord.
Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you that you know every heart, Lord. That you know every life. You know our fears, Lord. You see our masks, Lord. You see us in that place of fear or anxiety, that those things that we can't share with anyone, you know them, Lord. You know our hearts. You know our fears and our, you also know our dreams, Lord, and our ambitions and the hopes that we have in our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, that you invite us to yourself exactly the way that we are, Lord. That you do not expect us to fix ourselves and be perfect before we come to you, Lord. We thank you that you invite us to come to you to receive your grace through your Son, Jesus. Even when we are still enemies with you, Lord, you sent your Son to die for us. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to spend some time praying. If you would just like to stand with us this morning. Just going to spend some time ministering to people. I'm going to pray for a few specific groups of people. And while we're doing that, if you have any other prayer needs and so, you please feel free to come to the front. If you do want to say hi to Vander a bit later on, or if maybe some of your children want to say hi to him, he'll be in the foyer in a few minutes' time. All right. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that you speak into every one of our hearts, Lord. And even as we just heard, thank you that you hear our cries, Lord. Even those ones that can't even come out, the ones that aren't expressed, Lord, you hear the silent cries, Lord. You hear the cries that are in our hearts, Lord. And you came down. Thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, and you came down. And you became a man, and you lived among us, and you gave your life so that we can be reconciled with the Father, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for that love that you demonstrated towards each one here. As every eye is closed this morning, I believe that our Father is extending invitation to each one this morning. Say, if you are far off from the Father this morning, if you knew, maybe you have had a relationship with him, maybe you have been around church, but this morning you know that you are not right with him. You know there's something that's come between you. Maybe you've never been around church and this is all new. There's an invitation this morning to draw near to him. There's an invitation this morning to have a relationship with the Father, to have a relationship with the King of Kings, to have a real relationship with the Creator of the universe. What he's done is he sent his Son to pay the price for your sin and for my sin. And he's taken that burden upon himself. He's taken that punishment upon himself so that you and I can walk free, so that you and I can have a relationship with him, so that you and I can inherit eternal life and be with him forever. Even when this life passes away, we can be with him in eternity. And as every eye is closed this morning, if you're standing here and you know this morning, you want to accept that invitation, you want to draw near to him this morning, maybe you want to come back closer again, maybe you want to draw near for the first time, you choose and you know in your heart this morning, you want to lay down your life, you want to turn away from your sin and from your old life, you want to receive new life in Christ this morning, I'd like to pray with you. And as every eye is closed, if that's you this morning, won't you raise your hand for a moment? I'd like us just to spend a few moments to pray together. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for those hands. Is there anybody else? Thank you. You can, if you raise your hand, you can lower it again. I want us to just, as we're standing, I want us to pray a prayer together, just a brief prayer, just to bring our hearts to Him again. So I want to lead us in a prayer, if you don't mind, and you're welcome to follow after me. We're just going to bring our hearts before Him again. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. Today I confess that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Thank you that you gave your Son in my place. Forgive me of my sin, Lord. Wash me clean. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for a new start, Lord. Thank you that I can be your child, that I can hear your voice, and that I can have eternal life in your presence. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Father, we thank you that you see every heart. You know who's prayed this for the first time. Thank you that you meet us each where we're at, Lord. Thank you that you're so faithful to complete the good work that you've started in every life, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.